The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Live from Bates Nursery and Garden Center, just north of Briley Parkway on Whites Creek Pike, and worth the drive from anywhere. It's the At Home Show, answering your questions about your home, your garden, and your projects. Now for two gentlemen best known for pioneering the concept of social distancing, Josh Carey and David Bates.
Oh yeah, everybody knows what that music means. It's now time to climb a tree, don your loincloth, and survey the backyard, because you've got to find a project. You've got to lay it in the unmarked grave of history. Welcome in, everybody. It is your Saturday morning tradition. It's the At Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates, coming to you live from the green room here at Bates Nursery and Garden Center, 0.9 miles north of Briley Parkway at exit 19, beautifying Nashville. Since 1932, and the show's been coming to you since 1998. So,
right, and also the capable, the extraordinary, I should say, production skills of Michael Stevenson, the Moose Man himself.
I guess so. I'm trying to make it work.
You got new toys.
You got new toys. And,
you'll have to take a
and
little while to
be
it out.
Sure, in case that you did not see our little trial feed that we did a few days ago.
We had table talk on Tuesday, so yes, it was great.
And we've added a few little tweaks to our presentation here, so we hope that that's going to be something that will add to the program and make us create the further illusion of
professionality.
Yeah, we're working towards that anyway. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's talk about weather.
It's going to be hot, man.
It's going to be the hottest day of the year so far. And, of course, this is Saturday, May the 2nd. Congratulations, everyone. We made it through April. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, I had my doubts.
I did, too.
Staring at it from March, April looked daunting, and it did not disappoint. It certainly was, but I'm glad it's May now. And we're looking at clear skies, sunny conditions, 55 degrees here at Bates Nursery. We're going to have a beautiful day today. And just for a little touch on that, winds are going to be out of the south-southwest at 10 to 15 miles an hour tonight. Clear skies, low of 63 degrees. And the winds will stay out of the south-southwest. We'll calm down to about 5 to 10 miles an hour tomorrow. It's going to be partly cloudy early with some scattered thunderstorms developing later in the afternoon. A high of 84. It's a 40% chance of rain, so not too much of a rain threat tomorrow. But as we move into the days ahead, we're having seasonable springtime weather. And
what kind of seasoning?
It's going to be fairly mild, I would say.
So like a nice garlic salt?
Something like that, yeah.
Old Bay.
We're going to have
Old Bay seafood seasoning.
Highs in the 80s through Monday, 80 degrees on Monday, partly cloudy. Tuesday, we're going to cool down a bit with some scattered thunderstorms. 75 for the high. 72, mostly sunny on Wednesday. 71 on Thursday. It looks like a chance of showers moving in by next weekend. Of course, it really doesn't count because that's so far away. And I'm seeing temperatures in the 60s for a high. So enjoy the extremely warm weather we're having today, because if you really like for it to be hot, you're only going to get a few days of it. It's going to cool back down again, which is really nice. Again, it's 55 degrees here in Music City.
Yes, it is. Now, if you're listening and you're watching, go ahead and share the feed so we can get as many people on the line and watching the show as possibly can.
Absolutely. We're all about, we want to be connected to everybody else, and it really helps us a lot when you participate in that. Uh-huh. And
so, David.
Get on board.
Now, David.
Yes?
What'd you do to your hand, man?
Oh, that.
Yes.
Hold that up again so they can see it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's...
That's an oopsie.
That is a most definite oopsie. I was closing a gate. And if you know what a cantilevered gate is, a cantilevered gate is a gate that is a sliding gate.
Mm.
And it has big rollers. It's made out of like 3-inch, 2.5 to 3-inch pipe.
Big old honking pipes.
And this 60-foot gate panel, probably weighs a ton, maybe more.
Oh, yeah.
So, it takes a bit of force to move it, and this normally we only operate it with it part of the way open, but for some reason on Wednesday it had been open fully, and when you open it to the extreme,
it makes it that much harder.
It's really hard to get it going, and normally when I would see the gate in that position, I would walk to the end of it with both hands and push it part of the way, because it's much easier to push from the end, but I didn't notice that it was all the way retracted until I got up to where I would normally, the gate panel I'd normally close it from, which is on the other side of this big set of rollers, because the gate's normally not that far closed,
right,
or opened, I should say. So I put my left hand on the pipe and I started pushing, and I put my head down because it was hard to push, and then I felt a twist in my back. Because I'm torquing it. So I put my right hand over my head to kind of straighten my spine out. And as I did that, I get to that roller, and it rolls my fingers up in it, or my finger. Slightly got my ring finger, but did a number on my pinky.
Mm-hmm.
Broke a bone, 23 stitches, all of which, much of which will have to be taken out on Wednesday, because I am... having surgery on it to have the bone, have pins put in so that the bone can be repaired. So my finger will be straight after it's all said and done. But fortunately, no nerve damage, does not appear to be any tendon or ligament damage. So, I'm going to recover. It's just going to be maybe 6 weeks.
That's the exact reason why my wife made me get a tungsten ring. And she just has this fear my hand's going to get caught in something.
She made you get a tungsten ring?
Yeah, so they can break it.
So that this was a hand that didn't.
Oh, the
have
other
a ring
hand. That's right. Yeah, it's on your right hand.
Yeah, it didn't have
saying.
A ring on it.
You're not supposed to wear them when you're working anyway, buddy. Did you know that?
I am a defier. I just do what I want.
All righty, folks. You can dial us 615-499-6690. David Bates will he's amphibious, so he'll be able to run his screens.
I think that word is ambidextrous, but.
We have a voicemail, by the way, already.
We already have a voicemail.
And it has to do with some pictures that were posted on Facebook.
Yes, it was from Michelle Kelly. She had told us that she was going to send these in.
We're going to cue that now?
Yeah.
Dum, 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 dum.
Hi, there she is. I have this area in my backyard, and I put it up on Facebook. It's 40 by 12 feet, and it's a hill that I've been weed whacking for the last 12 years, and now I'm too old to do it. So I'm killing off all the grass, but I don't know what to do with it. Any suggestions?
Well, that is what I would call a blank palette myself.
It is a blank palette. It's also a rather steep palette. It's not. I'd say that's a 2-to-1 slope at least. It's. I would suggest strongly considering doing some terracing in there. And of course, what terracing will do will add some additional structure in the approximate midpoint of that slope. And reduce the amount of grade, because you've got a step down effect. You could put multiple ones in there and have it really in a stair step level planting, where you could go in there and plant perennials. You could plant pretty much anything that you wanted to.
But you're still going to have to get up there and trim and weed and do all that.
Well, yeah, but if you have it terraced at enough levels, you effectively have created a staircase going up that you can give yourself a good spot to work
on. What about some containers in there as well?
Well, you could incorporate that into the terraced area to give you some, some nice areas of interest, something more upright perhaps.
Is terracing the same thing as terraforming in a way?
No, terraforming, I think, is when you take like a planet that has no life on and you create life, like Mars, for instance.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's what I was thinking of. I have a board game called Terraforming Mars.
Yeah. Well, and now you understand why it's named that.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not called Terracing Mars.
But once you terraform, terracing
becomes, and we're pretty well terraformed on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
You can get into, you know, nuanced things like terracing after that. So I hope that helps you.
That's a large area. You could put some, if you did not want to have a basic maintenance, David, I mean, you could put stone there on top of it. You're still going to get some mulch mixed in.
Yeah, and
it's a tough area that you've got there, but it's absolutely gorgeous, Michelle, to be honest with you. I can see
You've got full sun.
Yes.
And one of the things that gives you a great opportunity to do is to perhaps put in some edible landscape.
David Bates, how would cucumbers work on that?
Well, cucumbers are going to go wonderfully. So you could do any kind of viney thing on there. The cucumbers won't roll down the hill like melons will, so you would have less concern about cucumbers if you were putting those on there. But there are any number of different types of things you could plant if you were willing to do some terracing and help break that slope up a little bit.
It's going to be hard to keep it moist because you're going to lose a lot of the water.
I actually see that in my mind's eye of at least three, perhaps even four different terraced areas. And then you've got really excellent spots to garden in. You can, you know, you've got little step up places and little narrow strips that you can easily reach across. And that's the thing when you're doing intensive gardening, and particularly if you're having vegetable plants and those kind of things, you're going to be caring for them. You're going to be harvesting fruits and vegetables off of them. So you want to be able to reach from one side all the way to the back side of it. So you don't want to make it overly wide. So probably not more than 3 feet, preferably not even more than two.
Right. Now, Michelle, on that far end there, I'm seeing maybe some blueberry bushes. That would be a really good spot for some blueberry bushes.
Absolutely.
Maybe a brown turkey fig, perhaps.
You know, we've got some right here directly behind me. You see a couple of raspberries. You might be able to make out that brown turkey fig that is directly behind me. Right beside Josh, you've got a couple of bountiful blueberries. Now, what makes bountiful blue, they have a nice compact growth habit, which is really nice, but they are self-pollinating, whereas with most blueberries,
every single one of these is going to be a blueberry. Look at this.
There's a lot of fruit on them already, so you're going to get a lot of fruit on those, and they don't, if you have limited space, it's a really great choice because it does not require having two of them.
And at $3.99 a pint, I mean, that it doesn't take long to pay for them.
Blueberries are not cheap, but I just love them.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
Right behind you there, Josh, I don't know if anyone has noticed that big tree-looking thing is a service berry. And a service berry is a native. And actually, Adam Chapman, who works here at the nursery, he has one of the best service berry muffin recipes you've ever seen. Now, the service berries have already
serviced.
They've already serviced for this year.
Okay.
Yes. But they are a wonderful addition to a landscape, and they are a native.
What's a service berry taste like?
A service berry?
I would describe it as a cross between a cranberry and a blueberry. It's kind of in that flavor profile. So it's somewhere in there. They're great for muffins, but they're a small berry. They're kind of like your northern high bush blueberries.
Not the low bush. About
that big. Well, you know, these are considered the southern high bush, even though these are a lower growing type. They have a much larger fruit on them. But the service berry has a small fruit.
We've got a blueberry bush that we've got.
Where'd right you get going. It?
Yeah. Here?
Yeah. Where's here?
It's Bates Nursery.
Yes, of course it is.
You talk about it, your home.
Yes, I got one at my house that I got from here.
Okay. Now, did you only get one?
Only one.
Okay. Did you get one that was a self-pollinating type? I don't remember. I don't recall.
I don't remember.
Well, you should have if you're only going to get one, because that's the whole point about blueberries.
It's flowering.
Typically, well, and they're all going to flower. Mm-hmm. The question of this is, will it self-pollinate?
Gotcha.
And if you don't have a pollinator, or have one, a cultivar like this, or you may be able to see them right down in front of us here. The Bountiful Blue blueberries are a self-pollinating type and don't require having a second variety in order to produce viable fruit. So, good thing to be thinking about.
I didn't know that. Things you know all the time. You now, always learn something. You know,
the whole idea of edible landscaping is
you
not
get to eat it. It's really cool stuff. Yeah,
and these are not things that don't look nice in the landscape. I don't know if we can see right here. What you're showing now, Michael, is a nice shot, or what you were showing is a nice shot of some flats of herbs and vegetable plants and some flowering things. And one of the things that's really important when you're having vegetable gardens or flowering plants is that they only produce fruit when you have pollinators. You got to have Mother Nature to help. It really makes life a lot easier if you have bees that are coming in.
That's why bees are so important.
So having things like bee balm, which is that purple flowering thing down in the front, and other flowering plants are wonderful to bring the bees in, and then while they're in the neighborhood, well, they'll just go ahead and pollinate the other things just you may
pollinate
have.
Pollinate for days.
Be it a fig tree or strawberries or raspberries or blackberries or blueberries.
Well, while we're on that flat, I've got the shot of the of those plants back up. So what exactly is all that
stuff
down there? We got dill, oregano.
We've got, you know, you see some individual pots of dill, oregano, and I think there's some rosemary down in front. So there's that there. You see the marigolds that are down the center of those flats. They're on the right-hand side. Those are all herbs. There's basil, thyme, and mints, and various different things. On the left side, you'll see a number of different vegetables, including tomatoes, peppers, eggplant, quite a number of different things. And those are just a sampling of all the many things you have to choose from. When you're gardening, a lot of people are into square foot gardening or container gardening. And almost anyone, even if you live in a high-rise apartment or condominium, so long as you have a south or west-facing balcony, you can really have good success in doing some gardening. And herbs are the easiest thing in the world to grow. So really think about where you have opportunities and make the most of it.
Josh. That's not on me.
I'm a broadcast professional, so I mean, hell, I'm trying to get Michelle's picture shared so we can actually put it up on the screen so the folks can actually see it. I just sent it to you via text there, David. So hey, if we can get it rolling up there so we can get it going. Yep. But it's a beautiful area. I'd love to have that problem, to be honest with you. I mean, it's a lot of work when you're talking about the terracing, unless you can get a piece of machinery in there to get it rolling.
Hey, Josh, you've got your auto alert set where it's going to give
what it is.
You got it turned off
now. It's his iPad keeps charging and uncharging and charging and uncharging. If you unplug it, I bet it stops.
Okay.
We could get him a better connection, maybe. I don't know what the deal is with that. Anyway,
all right, with suggestions for technical issues, 615-499-6690. But yeah, the square foot gardening issues are around there, folks, because again, if you're, you know, got nothing else to do these days, you happen to be sitting around the house. I mean, I know a lot of folks are. I mean, you can go and, you know, the building supply stores are open. You can have your own above ground garden if you want to put it in the ground. I've seen some absolutely spectacular in-ground gardens this year.
I think as more and more individuals, and it's been quite obvious, not just to me, but everyone who does what I do for a living, that there's a greatly heightened interest in vegetable gardening in general, but all aspects of edible landscape. So where you have opportunities are where you've got old established shrubs that perhaps, you know, are kind of on the backside.
A concrete pad that used to have a hot tub on it?
You can. That's a great spot to be able just to put either a number of different decorative planters and grow in those, or perhaps construct on the pad. And young Michael over there, he's been working on some square foot gardens
on the ground
at his house, and that same approach would work on a concrete pad. So,
but
if you have a certain project director at your house and they have certain other...
I'm trying to think of who that might be.
I don't know who that could be, but...
You mean your wife? Because that's who mine is.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know what the two operative words of the at-home show are for any married man. Okay. One, two, three. Yes, dear.
I thought it was three words. I thought it was four words, make me a sandwich.
That's just the yard boy.
Okay.
It's not a sandwich anyway.
Sandwich.
Sandwich.
We have another voicemail.
Yeah.
From Martha Bailey.
Okay. Martha, how can we help you at home?
Yes, this is Martha Bailey. I have the frost, got my lace leaf maple and left, you know, the edges burnt like, and I have some bushes and it did the same. Is it best just to cut that off or what should I do with it?
Miss Bailey, at this point, now let's just stop her there. At this point, I think if it was a lace leaf Japanese maple, she's probably going to get new leaves, isn't she?
Oh, she is. And okay. You don't really have to do anything except just allow it to continue to grow. Those old leaves will dry up and fall off. If you want to, once they dry, kind of strip them off with your hand, mm-hmm. That's perfectly okay. Either that or they're quickly going to get overgrown with the new foliage that is coming out. So there's a lot of people got frost and freeze damage from the we had temperatures right at freezing here just a few days ago. So I've got messages from different folks who had just planted tender vegetable plants over the weekend and only to see them get zapped on Monday morning. And unfortunately, that's part of the issue when when you're dealing with Mother Nature. She kind of still controls the whole show.
Now, Jude has asked a question. She's asking, she says, good morning, guys. I have a peach tree with something going on that has turned the trunk black. Dum, dum, dum.
Turn the trunk black.
Black. Wonder if that's a fungus.
Well, I would say it almost certainly is a fungus. The question is what kind of fungus?
Mm.
And it's a sooty black mold. And you got to wonder, okay, you know, what is the source of that sooty black mold? And that is hard for me to say with certainty. And now, you know, could she have borer issues? Definitely. Could she have other problems that are going on, such as other pests that may be an issue contributing to it?
It's a little early in spring for sooty black mold, though.
It's very early. And so, you know, and this is where a photograph perhaps is worth 1,000 words, because I'm forced to speculate. And speculation oftentimes is way off the mark. And this may well be one of those cases. So, okay.
Jake and Holly Dickerson want to have a question, Dave.
Both of them.
Both Jake and Holly. That's one word, Jake and Holly. They want to know, will the bee police come after them if they kill carpenter bees?
I doubt it.
They might ought to, though, don't you think?
I hate carpenter bees.
Well, you know, they do very little carpentry work.
They do the wrong kind of carpentry.
They go in there and they only have a drill is all they've got.
So you're saying that are they union? Are they union bees?
I'm just going to say that they're very much into nesting and into laying eggs. And
they do that, don't they?
And that's how they achieve that. They find wood to go out and their whole deal this time of year is to try to find a nesting spot. And any wood is pretty much good with them.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the best prevention for them is to have really well-painted wood surfaces.
Absolutely.
If you are if you have a natural wood finish, it really works against you. And that means you're going to have to invest. You know, we used to talk about putting taking like a can of WD-40 and sticking it up in the hole, and that will work. But they've already done
their whittle wings off, but we don't like that.
They've already done the damage at that point. Now, yes. to be sure, the pollination contribution that carpenter bees, I don't have any reason to believe that it's a that it's a really big contribution, although I'm sure they do some.
Yes, they do. Now, the Carpenter Bee traps that are widely available work very well as well.
And those really, they trick them into, it's a little jar that's attached to a block of wood that has a hole drilled in it, and they climb in there and they fall into the jar.
But it's really good for eye-hand coordination training if you get a racquetball racket, not a long like a badminton racket, racquetball racket. You can get eye-hand coordination.
I find it it's especially good on the working on the backhand.
You wouldn't want to use it with that wing, though.
I can attest to those traps. Those traps are awesome. Well.
Now, Amy has a serious question. Now, we were talking about the terracing in Michelle's yard, which, by the way, can we get that up there at some point in time if you've received it on the I sent it to you on a text. I know you
Oh, you want me to get it up on the screen?
Yes, please, sir. Would you get it up on the screen?
I can barely walk and chew gum at the same time.
We've noticed that about it. But Amy wants to know, how are we going to hold the soil in place with the terracing? Now, that's kind of a natural function of the way that the terracing goes.
Absolutely.
And once you get the terraces done, and whether you were to use the paving stones or stacked stone or any of the concrete blocks, I mean, a lot of folks would use, in the past, it was a very common practice to use old railroad ties, but for an ornamental garden, that would be the way maybe it would be acceptable. I wouldn't personally want to do it if you were going to have a vegetable garden there as well. But once those terraces are built, the soil will stay on the terrace as it goes down. And if it does get some wash in it, because that's a nice hill, you're still going to get some wash on it. You could put drainage in there at that point in time. You could drop some ADS pipe. I've seen people use hard pipe in there just to run it through just to have a way for the water
to roll down. Give people a little understanding when you're saying ADS pipe.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's actually a brand.
That is a slotted type of drain pipe. It's like the word Kleenex for tissue. Mm-hmm. ADS is just a brand of a slotted drain pipe.
Or solid or corrugated, corrugated drain pipe. But as you see, she's got this is a beautiful area, and if it's 40 feet long, I mean, it's just amazing the possibilities here.
The big issue that I see here, first of all, is that it's covered in black plastic.
Now she's killing the grass.
And that works great for that. And, you know, so give that a few weeks to be able to, and you want to have it as completely covered as absolutely possible. So wherever you see any hint of light getting through, that won't get sterilized. What you get from this is that it actually generates tremendous heat.
Yes.
And so much so it will sterilize the ground and works. It's a great method to use. I would use personally at least one step down terrace, but if you could do two in there, that gives you a way to be able to walk
at least one in the middle of the run.
At least one in the middle, but two would be so much better, and it would give you
the visual differences. You could be,
and it gives you the ability to walk on top of that terrace wall and work on the bed that's above it, and if you have vegetable plants, that kind of thing in there, whatever she decides to use, but given the amount of gardening that people are into these days, that's a wonderful spot to do that, but it will require being terraced in order to be able to utilize it and be able to control the water.
Rice paddies in the Orient. You think that's the look that you're looking for.
Yeah, and there's no place where they demonstrate the ability to work with, regardless of the steepness of the hillside, it's just a matter of creating enough different level terraced spots to be able to grow the particular plants on.
Okay. And here is Jude. Now, David, we're going to try to share this one too, but this is Jude's peach tree, by the way. So if you'll be able to see that. It looks like, in all honesty,
dead. Yeah, I'll say that's what that is. And
that's why it's turning black.
Yeah, that's what we call necrosis. It has moved on.
Sorry.
It's time to consider. That's the bad news.
How about a service berry?
Service berry is a great choice. Now, I don't have any idea what happened to that peach tree. It could have been borers from last year.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to know for sure, but one thing's for certain is that one's not coming back.
Nope.
So you need to be thinking about what you're going to put next.
Also, another
nice pear. That's a kefir pear, and of course, Josh is
known
for his lack of affinity for a certain ornamental type of pear trees, and certainly that it's a the Bradford pears are a nasty tree, but a fruiting pear such as a kefir pear or mm-hmm. Bartlett pear, and that one has quite a lot of fruit on it already.
I don't know if they can see that. Or yeah, not.
Don't eat that, Michael.
Yeah, and that's so a lot of the fruit trees that we sell here already have fruit. You know, there's no how many years do I have to wait? It's not years, it's more like weeks. Mm-hmm. So that will have, certainly within just a few months, that fruit will mature. Talk for just a moment about if you've got an existing apple or pear tree in your yard, mm-hmm. the practice of thinning and the importance of thinning.
I want you
fruit.
To do this with your right hand, David.
No, I'm not going to do it with my right hand.
Come on, David, I want you to do this with your right hand.
Even on fig trees, you don't want to have them too close together. And here's the
fruits.
The fruit, when they are touching each other, it really creates problems because it creates areas where disease and fungus and rot can start in between. But typically, you want on an apple tree or on a pear tree, just extend your thumb and forefinger, you know, the hang loose chaka like you have in Hawaii.
Brata.
That's about how much spacing you want between the fruit. So you're going to be picking off mm-hmm. a lot of fruit.
See, you might be picking as an NFL quarterback with this span, David. You've got tiny hands.
Yeah, well,
I have small womanly hands too.
I understand.
Anyway. Okay. The whole point of it is that you want to create space for sun to get all the way around each of the fruits. And what happens is that you have a tree that is far healthier simply because that it doesn't have to try to support all of this fruit. If you see fruits in stores where the fruit is really nice and big, well, the reason that it is that way is because they have selectively thinned the trees down so that the tree has energy to supply the same amount of energy to fewer fruits as opposed to trying to grow as many fruits as possible. So you really get about the same amount of weight. You just get a much bigger and a better quality by not allowing those fruits to touch. And that's a pretty good spacing for apples. Maybe not if you're Josh's hand, but bring it in. About 6 inches is a good spacing on that. If you're talking about figs or other things like that, maybe only about 2 to 3 inches apart. So make sure that you pull out the ones that are touching the other ones.
Yeah, the other ones. Now, Jude is, and again, this is where you can call in, Jude. You can dial 615-499-6690 because we're opining on something here. You know, we said your tree was dead, but if you're saying that it leafed out, did you send a picture of the leaves? Come on, you can call us and we'll interact, and Michael will call you back, and
he'll call you back, but we won't call you out.
Yeah, we will.
Well, we might, but we'll be relatively nice about it. I mean, maybe you'll be calling us out, and that certainly has happened on many occasions.
Well, Jake and Holly said that the bee traps didn't work for them. It was probably because where Jake put the traps last year. So I said, it probably is his fault. Absolutely. It's got
to
be.
Well, it's easy to just assume.
Assume
that it's Jake's fault. Hey, let's talk for just a moment, Josh. Uh-huh. We're here and we're talking about gardening today. Uh-huh. Let's talk about doing it your very best, making the most of the efforts that you are putting forth in your garden. And if you're particularly if you're slightly handicapped like I am.
And that thing must be twinging because he's painting.
Well, it's just, I've got that finger that I can feel moving around in there. But that's not the point. The point is that if you're going to spend effort on growing things, you want them to do the very best.
Discussion,
particularly if you are interested in growing things in your own home garden. Mm-hmm. You want it to be free of chemicals. You don't want to have to be doing spraying. You don't want to have to be putting chemical fertilizers on there. You want your soil to be 100% organic and sustainably produced. Well, to meet both those criteria, you got to go with Earth Mix Garden Products. It's made right here in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's available all over the area. You can go to More and More Garden Center. You can go to Martin's out in Murfreesboro. Check out the website, earthmix.net, and click on the locations tab where it says Find Earth Mix.
They're everywhere. I see the signs all over.
So
everywhere.
Go check it out. You won't find it at box stores.
Nope.
And these are only for the finest, best professional places around. And Harpeth True Value down in Franklin, another great seller. Great folks out there. Check out the entire list. Red Wagon in Smyrna. We've even got Bloomington Garden Center up in Bloomington, Indiana. Mm-hmm. There's some places up in Ohio now. So
does Bobby Knight use it? He could if he was.
I'm not going to tell him he can't.
Okay,
might throw a chair at you.
He could.
Anyway, but if you want to get the most productive and the most disease-resistant plants growing in your garden, you need to use Earth Mix Garden products. You see, plants that are growing healthily and optimally are naturally disease and pest resistant.
Yes.
So check it out, earthmix.net, Earth Mix Garden products. Remember, the success in gardening begins at the ground level when you use Earth Mix Garden products.
Now, David, we had another question. This one is from Cynthia, and Cynthia is she greets us and good morning to you too, by the way. Each year, she plants echinacea inside her walled condo garden. They do nicely the first season, but never come back in subsequent years. Any suggestions? Is it a perennial?
Sedum.
Echinacea.
I don't know where I got sedum in my head. I heard that. Echinacea is indeed a perennial. Okay. Now, one of the problems that she could have, and there can be.
We're thinking walled condo garden here. So
she might not have enough light. She might not have. She might not have sufficient drainage in her containers.
That would be my first guess.
And they're very susceptible to wet feet. So you want to make sure that you provide an optimal situation for them so that they get a sufficient amount of light. Now, they don't want to bake in the afternoon sun, but neither do they want to be in an area that's overly shaded. They need
lots of sunshine.
So try to find that and try to keep them sufficiently moist, but don't keep them soaking wet all the time. So
all right. Michael,
we got a voicemail.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, who's it from?
They don't actually say.
Oh, okay. Oh.
So but yeah,
so we just put it out there. Give us your first name. Yeah, we want to be able to have a, you know,
social security number helps too.
Birthday, maybe your senior
your
picture
PIN number.
Remember the senior picture?
Nah, we don't want senior picture. No. But go ahead.
Hey, I'm trying to figure out how to make comments on the computer, too, but it's Martha Ann.
Hey, Martha Ann.
Have a comment about the bees. You talked about carpenter bees and honeybees,
mm-hmm.
and I have seen the honeybees wipe the carpenter bees out. So I also had a couple of questions about some water plants. I'm working on a water project with fish, koi, that is, and also...
Don't be coy with us.
Thank you. Give me a call back.
All right. If you want to call Martha Ann back, we'll hook up with her. But, I mean, evidently she's got some bad honeybees. I mean, because they take them on, I guess. They just run them off out of the territory.
Yeah, well, and I think that maybe that's the key to dealing with them is getting them have enough of the stormtroopers available. I mean, because, you know, the big bees, the carpenter bees, are not all of them even have stingers. But
the killer bees.
Well, maybe the honeybees are the arch rival, and we just haven't known.
John Belushi
could be
out there going now. The Fairhaven Farm over in Petersburg has asked a question about the use of glyphosate and cats. Is that
I have no knowledge about glyphosate. For those who may not know, is the active ingredient in Roundup
and lots of other things. The claim is that it can make it very sick, and I mean, particularly if you spray it on them, I would think it would probably be.
It is a chemical. It must be used consistent with the manner on the label. Generally, if you're spraying a herbicide, you want to be able to...
They're trying to get rid of poison oak, as a matter of fact.
And that's not... Glyphosate's not going to get the job done. Mm-hmm. And let me give you... And who is this we're talking
about? The Fairhaven Farm.
Fairhaven Farm. Okay. Yeah. Here's the way to get rid of that. And it requires some dirty work on the front end, because somehow you've got to get in there and get it all cut out and cut down. If it's growing up the trees, mm-hmm. you got to get it all stripped out, get it cut down to a where that is just at the ground level. And this is very important because you need to be able to spray
it's in
with
a fence
very,
line too. So it's really going to be
you got to have somebody who can get in there and get that cut out who's not allergic, or you have on enough protective gear. And I think we're all are pretty well acquainted with protective gear, but you need to cut that all down and get it hauled off. Do not burn that. Do ever, not burn it. Ever. The smoke will contain those.
It'll tear you up.
It will. Yes, it will really do bad things to you. So don't burn it. Just waste it off somewhere. And when the new growth emerges from the toxicodendron, that's which is what the botanical name is. It's such an aptly named
toxico. That sounds like a Mexican wrestler.
If that doesn't tell you danger, I don't know what it does. But when you once it starts pushing out new growth, these tender leaves are very susceptible to herbicides. A very specific herbicide you want to use is for a brush killer.
Yes,
one that contains the active ingredient triclopyr. And if you spray it with that, good thing about it is once you've cut it down low, it's all down below you. So you're able to, you're not spraying a chemical up above your head. You're spraying it at low pressure, down at your feet, coat all the leaves, surfaces the very best you can. And when they're at that juvenile state, it'll really take up that herbicide and it'll be very effective on killing it out. Now, while you're doing this and until that chemical completely dries, keep the cats inside.
Yes,
you got to keep them away from it. That's true with this or any other chemical. So you were asking specifically about glyphosate.
Using, spraying over 2,4-D over your
what
lawn,
I'm telling you is glyphosate will not kill poison ivy. It will mock it, you. It will laugh at you. It has a very, and the reason you know this is because it has, if you've ever looked, it has a very oily type of leaf, and it simply won't stick to it. It will not absorb that chemical. So you got to use one that'll penetrate that.
All right, we got Martha Ann on the phone.
Oh, my goodness. Good morning, Martha Ann. How can we help you at home?
Good morning. Enjoying your show, but I'm still wondering why WSM has not seen fit to have you back. But,
You might call them, but we...
Yeah, that's,
it's all... The hotel is still closed at the moment, and
that's where the studio is located, is in the hotel, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't know how all that's going to work out, but we're just glad to be here.
You
right
could drive
now
through the Cascades and just honk your horn over and over again through the roundabout. Until
yeah, the security will probably pay you no mind, right?
Nah, they don't have to.
Well, anyway, I'm going to try to figure out how to avoid all the various sounds and stuff.
Well, you were asking about the plants for the koi pond, and
that's been quite a project. And I found out about that from your show and Mr. Dickinson, I guess it's
Dickerson. And, he would never tell you a lie either, I promise you.
These koi are amazing. I've been hearing about them. I'm trying everywhere in the world to find a way to haul them. I think I've found, a couple of really good options, but still filling up the pool. The gigantic concrete bottom, a little stainless steel side pool.
Now, you have the world's deepest koi pond, do you not?
Yes.
Well, they like it.
Can you?
Oh, I'm sure.
Now, can you put any kind of structure down in there where you could put some of these on stands, as it were? Because I know it seems like to me that I've never had a pond, but it seems like they weren't actually planted; they were actually kind of in a container.
You know, you could stack some concrete block up, crisscross them up until you could get them up at an elevation where they will grow. And of course, you only want them down about 18 inches deep at most, so you're they're going to be very close to the surface.
Possibly a net of some sort. Maybe.
Okay.
That sounds good. I've had experiments in that pool forever because it's really hard to get people to come out that far to work on it for a swimming pool. And it just had all kinds of interesting situations. But I've had koi and one koi. I called him Carpe Diem. And he was over 12 inches and just beautiful. Mm-hmm. Looked like gold had been poured on him. Awesome. And I went through that winter time.
Okay. Hey, Martha, we're going to have to pot you down there because we've got some interference there, but we really appreciate you calling in this morning. I want to remind everybody, when you call in, turn your audio down on your end, because what we get is that back feed, and it really makes it difficult to hear. So,
and despite what the common perception is about radio people, we don't always like hearing our own voices.
No, we're just in the loop. We just like thinking about
and in particular,
a lot, right?
we're running on a much longer delay that one, that's live here as well. So it's a
little weird, about 20 seconds almost. So we've already said well in the past whatever we hear
we've
again.
We've said well in the past what we've already heard again.
It's more in the past than
it has been. All righty, 615-499-6690. I don't know if we're theming on edible landscaping or eating things in your yard.
Well, you know, I write a weekly newsletter, Josh.
Yes,
I don't know if you knew that.
I knew that. I get it every Thursday afternoon.
And I do that, and I try to talk about whatever is timely, what seems to be timely. And, of course, that is available over at you can just go to the website, BatesNursery.com, and check that out. And it's available there.
It's free.
Down to the bottom of the page. It's free. Now, if you want to get it in your inbox every week, you can get that also. You can scroll about halfway
down. That be another good time to sign up and become a Bates Rewards member?
Yes. Yes, you can do that. And
You hear about all the specials that are happening.
You can also... you can also browse our really extensive selection of plants, and our curbside delivery and pickup business has really been amazing. We put a system in place that would allow for that. Never had any idea that there would be the level of participation that there has been, and we're appreciative of it. And I will admit that it has taken us a while to get all of that worked out, but we're really feeling good about our ability to handle the orders that come through now, and we did have to go up to a 4-day delay, we're back down to 48 hours now, and
efficiencies work. I mean, it's just a matter of getting
there's a lot of issues, and and for anyone who's delving into the internet sales world, it kind of comes at once. So we have successfully negotiated that. Of course, we are open again now on Mondays. We were closed on Mondays. Now we are open 7 days a week, noon to 4 p.m. So we invite you to come see us at Bates Nursery and Garden Center, noon to 4 p.m. Anytime you can check us out online, and you can order plants. Whatever, everything we've got is out there on our website. You can check all that out at BatesNursery.com. While you're there, if you don't get my newsletter, sign up there. It just takes a second. Scroll down about
once
halfway
a week.
Down.
That's all.
Yeah. Well, it's not a spam thing. Although occasionally people mark it as spam, even though they've signed up for it.
But, oh my goodness!
But
gracious.
I think that's just because they don't realize what the connection is. So anyway, check that out, and we'll be talking about pertinent gardening issues and whatever happens across my mind. I might even be talking about an injury I sustained next week. You never know.
Yes. Now, in my yard, I have a brown turkey fig.
Yes.
I have one of these blueberry plants.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have a service berry.
Right.
Yet. But I have... In the herb world.
It's a Navajo blackberry down front by the thorn-free blackberry.
Oh, my
goodness. Thorn-free blackberry.
Is it tick-free? Planted in the yard, probably be okay.
Yes, very
now,
likely.
We grow sage. We grow rosemary. We grow...
Thyme?
Oregano.
Parsley? Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme.
Now we're gonna do cilantro this year, because if you plant parsley, there's an old wives' tale that my mother believed in, and she said if you ever plant parsley in your garden, you move. And for whatever reason, she kept planting parsley in the garden, and we moved that much, and we kept moving. I have 4 different kinds of basil that we're gonna put in. I have 2 different kinds of cherry tomatoes that I'm gonna put in, and.
And I don't know if you have found the Genovese basil, which is what they grow typically in Italy. It has a more mild, distinctive flavor to it. So that's one I really like.
That was one of them. I don't know if we had that last week, but I picked those up last week. But I have 2 different kinds of peppers. I've got one jalapeno, and then I got one of the scorchers. So we'll see what's going to happen with that.
Now, here's a word on peppers.
Mm-hmm.
The hot peppers are genetically dominant. That is to say, if you plant a sweet banana pepper beside a really hot pepper, say a Trinidad scorpion, they're all going to be really hot.
Good.
So put them at opposite ends of the garden, give them plenty of room. That way you're...
Now, how do I do that in a square foot garden, David?
Well, you put them at opposite corners. Opposite That's as far end. Apart as you can put them. Or you can plant one of them in a container and move it a little bit further away.
Now that I was able to get rid of the last remnant of the dreaded hot tub...
Did you get rid of that last remnant?
I got rid of the last remnant. And I've got a feeling it's going to end up in, guess where, David Bates?
Convenience center?
No, Rutherford County landfill, even though it's, you know, we all live in Middle Tennessee, so where does all the stuff go?
Goes to the landfill.
It goes to the Rutherford County landfill. Anyhow, as a side note, I picked up my boards, and I have 8 2x6s. Now, in your... expert opinion. Now, I can go 2 runs to deep. I can go 1 run deep. And I have all those.
Now, you're going on a concrete slab.
Maybe.
Okay. Now, if you're going...
that's not been determined whether or not that will be acceptable to certain people in certain households in Smyrna, Tennessee, is whether or not the concrete pad will be able to be used.
Well, depending on... I have seen people only do 8 inches on a concrete slab, and it is enough. However, mm-hmm. it does present some issues with, as you get later into the growing season, it's going to dry out quickly.
Right.
So if you get a little more soil down there, you're going to have a lot better success. That's where if you were doing 8 inches that was over the top of existing soil, mm-hmm. then you might be fine with that. Otherwise, I would tend to err on a little bit more. Now, that doesn't mean that you have
to
fill.
Where did 8 inches come into this?
I thought you said there were 2x8s.
2x6s.
I'm sorry, 2x6s. Yeah. Well,
2x6s.
Yeah, I would go with 2 of them. Either way, yep. Yeah. Okay. 8 inches is marginally enough. 6 inches to me is not enough. Even if you're growing it, on the ground, it would be enough. But certainly, if you're growing it on a concrete area, that's not enough.
Well, I've got a feeling that the she shed will probably happen before my desire will probably happen. So,
But your project is comparatively easy and quick to
construct,
and much cheaper. Yes, but is that not normally the case?
Didn't like you say this is where you have to say we're getting into ground you don't want to talk about, but you didn't. You just silent.
I know, Josh.
I ain't scared.
Josh has no fear. Perhaps he should at times, but he doesn't. Seems to be devoid of that.
When Mama's not happy, nobody's happy, though, isn't that? That's a universal rule.
I have no means or reason to.
Dispute that.
No.
You wouldn't dare.
I like for things to be happy at home.
Because we know Renee's watching. So, I mean, that's the thing. Well,
and I like for things to be happy at home, and things almost always are happy at home.
Well, and again, we have other areas that we can do these with. Now, the optimal size for me, I would have loved, if we were going to use the concrete pad, 4x4 spacing would have been just awesome, because the way that the pad is set up, I would be able to walk between them, get to all edges.
So is the... is the pad going to be used for the she shed, or is it going to be a patio furniture area that you can?
We've got
that already covered.
Two places. I mean, so
you don't need a third.
We don't need any more, but we do need. By the way, and as we're
this
talking,
this is a
about,
sunny location. By the way,
it's a beautiful place.
So it will be a wonderful place to grow
anything.
Fruit producing.
Yes.
So, you know, I just think that it's worth petitioning to the powers that be as to, you know, this is a really excellent location for this specific thing. Over there doesn't get so much sun, and it will not perform as well. And we can make a very attractive, well-maintained, small garden area.
Reason has got to come into this, though.
God, that's what I'm trying to inject, is reason into you. Maybe.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
We have alternative spots, and they've already been pointed out, but I don't know. I don't know. We'll see what happens with this. But you're saying 2 runs of the 2x6s, or approximately it's going to be about, it'll be 10 inches or more, and that'll allow for a little bit of overlap.
And I will tell you, if you have that much, you wouldn't have to fill the entire depth of it with a prepared soil mix.
No.
You could put some other... less wonderful soil, still good soil, but you could put something else in the bottom of it, or you could fill it with something to take up some of the space. And that's frequently done in deep containers where you sometimes people even use crumpled up aluminum cans, right, that kind of thing.
Now, in the if I get to use the concrete pad, would a layer of aggregate on top of the soil moisture barrier be a good thing to do?
That'd be very good, because what that does is that helps to improve drainage. And you want to make sure that, yes, you want it to hold moisture, but you don't want it to retain it for excessively long periods of time.
So the box on the concrete, then the rock, then the gravel, then
right. And if you're on concrete, it won't be necessary from a weed prevention standpoint to put a Typar or some other kind of filtration or because see what
more worried about a washing situation.
What Typar will do in that situation is it will help keep the soil, the fine particles, from finding their way out so much.
Exactly,
you still want to use it on there. You just want to be able to put it on there for the reason of preventing the soil from escaping.
Yes, in the back.
How would you like another voicemail?
Who's it from?
Darren in Dallas.
Darren in Dallas?
In Dallas.
Oh, okay.
The interwebs reach far.
Does it?
That's what they tell me. I don't know.
Let's see what Darren, going. How can we help you at home?
This is Darren in Donaldson.
Donaldson.
David, Dallas, too.
About your hand. Good morning, Josh.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, David, would you recommend or suggest, planting squash and cucumbers in a container? Would that be better to be planted in the ground? Let me know.
Real fast, I just want to say something. I have a transcription service that lets me see what the thing is, and it's a Dallas.
Yeah, you're previewing it via transcription as opposed to, right. So
Darren, I'm sorry, you're in Donaldson.
And we would have known that had he listened to it. It's just that he was transcribing. And those of us who all use those transcription services know they have a high error rate.
Yeah.
So anyway, to answer your question, Darren, squash can be done well either way. Now, I had my dear Uncle Joe, who was, I was so fortunate. He was a man. I tell you, he was such a smart guy. He really got into home gardening, square foot gardening after he retired, and did it at a level that was just extraordinary. But one of the things that my point is this is he grew squash and melons and cucumbers vertically, and he used women's hosiery to support the fruit. When it would come up, they would tie them off and let them grow in the fruit. They would be perfectly ripened all the way around. It was really a wonderful way to do it. And he would make these most attractive. I mean, his garden area could have been in the front yard.
Fishnet stockings?
They weren't fishnet stockings, no, Josh.
Darn.
It was just regular nylons, I guess.
The line that goes up the back. I won't make it.
There might have been some of those back in the day, but, you know, I don't recall seeing those. But anyway, so that's what he would
use. I'm going to put him on the ground, though, if he can. I mean,
well, it's a lot less work. Now, what you do get if you're on the ground is they are readily available to whatever varmints that might be in the neighborhood. Raccoon, possum. Lippets,
squirrels.
Yep. Any of those.
Well, Thad Edwards has a question. He says he had a river birch that he planted 4 years ago. It had four trunks, but lost one after the first year and another one this past year. There are two to save. And what's he got to do to his river birch, David?
Yeah, well, if I had to guess without anything other than what he's just told me, it sounds like it could be borers that are getting in there, and they've selectively taking out one at a time. Now, one thing you need to understand when you have a multi-trunk tree like a river birch, what they do, and when these are grown from the outset, is that there are, like, if you had four trunks, there have been four separate little
plantlets,
seedlings planted together, and they are simply growing up in the same container. So that gives you that multi-trunk effect. Now, there are some things where they'll use a single one and cut it back and make it branch low, but most of the time when you see multi-trunk plants such as river birch or crepe myrtle, those are multiple plants growing in the same spot. That's how that is achieved.
So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to treat for borers, most likely, or get out there and absolutely look. Could,
and so you can get them in one of them and not necessarily have them in the other, but that I think we're seeing a trend develop here. If it indeed is borers, and you can discern that pretty easily by just looking closely at the bark, and if it's peeling back and you see little holes in there that are about the diameter of a number two pencil lead, just the lead of the pencil. They're small holes, but if you look closer, you'll see them. That's your clue. Cut those dead canes out. You need to treat with a chemical that will alleviate the borers. So make sure you buy one.
Depending on where you're calling from, Thad, if you're local, we would probably direct you to our friends at Dickens Turf and Landscape Supply, and they would absolutely fix you up for that. All righty, we're coming up on the close of the show, David.
But that went quickly.
Yes, it did.
You got a minute and a half.
We got a minute and a half, so we want to thank everybody for participating in this edition of the At Home Show, and we're going to come back next Saturday morning for sure, because, I mean, nothing's going to stop the At Home Show.
I'll remind you again. Check out your independent garden centers all over Middle Tennessee, Kentucky, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio now for EarthMix garden products. Success begins at the ground level when you use EarthMix.
Please share the feed on Facebook. We're going to be out there. This this new gadget here, we're going to be up on LinkedIn before too long.
I hope you've liked our new Mevo cameras.
Mevo, we are not men, but it's great. So please share it. We got to grow this thing, get it out there, and get everybody looking for us, because at one point in time, but soon we're going to be on YouTube as well. So we're going
and we're going to be able to have on our screen right here have guests join us here. So
guestesses.
I actually got a relatively firm commitment from John Cowan to come in and perhaps perform for us one Saturday. So,
very cool.
So John's, you know, the Doobies are not on the road currently, so he indicated he'd be willing to do that. So I'm looking forward to being able to take advantage of some of our musical friends who are, you know,
take advantage of them. Okay. But all righty, folks.
Taking advantage of them,
now,
yeah.
Download the podcast, subscribe wherever you get your podcast, and share that word too. But, folks, we thank you for being here, and we will be back for another hour next Saturday morning.
Yeah. 8 a.m. Hey, I'm open. Michael, how about you?
I'm good.
And we'll be here at Bates Nursery and Garden Center. See you then.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.